Three swish by Long from the far wing, but it gave her room, and she made him pay. Her second triple of the game and her 14th of the season. It's 15-5, Smith Center.
Kayla Burks, the board for Beloit. Kayla wants to push it, kicks it. Three, Brockman, ring it up. Bullseye, bingo, money, rip the cords. Wyatt Brockman still in a zone with yet another three.
Now Kayla Burks. Kayla spins, kicks it to Kyler, fakes the three, dribbles in. Back to Caleb in the corner, three-pointer on the way. Cousin to cousin, the Burks connection strikes. Caleb with 16 in the second triple of the night.
Some of the action last night on the radio as Beloit traveling to Smith Center. Smith Center Lady Red getting a victory, 59-42, led virtually the entire way. Beloit led 1-0 to start the game, and that was it. Smith Center led the rest of the way, 12-5 at the end of one, led by 10 at halftime, led by as many as 21 in the fourth. Go on to win it, 59-42. Smith Center Lady Red, number one seed in their sub-state, now 16-4 with the win. Dakota Kattenberg with 15, and Ashlyn Long with 14, all in the first half. Smith Center forced 24 Beloit turnovers. Beloit was led by Addie Budke with 12 and 11 for Tatum Tegens Peters. Beloit girls fall to 9-11. They've lost four in a row, headed into sub-state next Tuesday, where they'll play at 6 o'clock in Council Grove, which we'll have for you on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Smith Center girls will be hosting Plainville on Monday in the first round of 2A sub-state action. Budke, Tegens Peters, Long, and Kattenberg were SNS Drug and Home Health athletes of the game. Block of the game for HR Block and Beloit went to Miley Brown, and the connection of the game, Peyton Remus to Tatum Tegens Peters. In the boys' contest, it was all Beloit. Beloit jumped out to a 21-2 lead. Smith Center would trim it to 11, 23-12, only to see Beloit respond and go on 20-3 spurt to close out the first half. Beloit led 46-15 at the end of the first half, and they led by 46, 69-23 going to the fourth. Running clock in the fourth, Beloit wins by a final of 76-29. Smith Center's now lost 18 in a row. They're 1-19 going into sub-state play in 2A on Tuesday, as they'll be the 8 seed and be at the 1 seed. Beloit improves to 14-6. Last year, Beloit was 5-13, so a 9-win improvement, and they can add to that in sub-state play as Beloit will host Riley County on Monday at 7 o'clock, a team they beat by 32 early in the year, but Riley County has their best player supposedly back after a torn ACL during football, so we'll see what kind of impact he has on their team. Beloit was led by Caleb Burks with 19, Wyatt Brockman 17. Brockman hit 5 threes on Friday, hit 6 threes, so 11 threes in the last 8 quarters of play, actually 7 quarters of play. He didn't play in the fourth quarter last night. Burks with 3 triples. Beloit hit 13 threes on the night. Gerstner with 2 triples off the bench. Jackson Cheney, freshman, 2 triples off the bench. Tyler Harmon hit a 3-pointer as well. Beloit with 13 threes on the night. And Burks and Brockman were our SNS Drug and Home Health athletes of the game. The block of the game for HR and Block and Beloit went to Owen Islett, and the connection of the game was Quinn Islett to Wyatt Brockman. Smith Center led by Nolan Lehman with 12, as once again the finals on Tuesday night for Smith Center. Smith Center girls win 59-42 over Beloit, and the Beloit boys win going away 76-29. As I mentioned, we know the bracket, or not, we know the matchups for Beloit boys and girls on Monday. Once again, Beloit, Riley County in Beloit. Beloit will be the 2 seed, Riley County the 7 seed, and that will be at 7 o'clock pregame at about 6:45 on Monday on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, live video stream at NCKSSports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. The exact scenario the very next night on Tuesday of next week, Beloit at Council Grove. The only difference is we'll have 5:45, 5:50 pregame, tip-off at 6 from Council Grove. Beloit girls will be the 5 seed, Council Grove the 4 seed, Council Grove 10-10, Beloit girls 9-11. And we'll have the live video stream, and we'll also have it on the radio on KD Country 94 on Tuesday. Of course, we got more basketball coming up tomorrow and Friday, which we'll get to here in just a moment, but does still recap what else happened in basketball last night. I can tell you that Southeast Saline girls and boys wrapped up undefeated league titles last night, and they are the number one seeds in that Minneapolis substate that Beloit will be playing in. And Dust will go through all the scores from last night that I didn't cover.
Yes, the Northern Plains League Lakeside girls winning 37-34 over Sylvan Lucas. Osborne won over Rock Hills 56-40. Trinity Looters with 16, Grace William 11, Taylor Elson and Ava Stolich had 10 for Osborne. And then Rock Hills led by Lauren Welchel with 18, Danica Frost scored 10. St. John Stepton winning 61-17 over Lincoln. Jenna Gingler and Ella Wiles each with 12 for the Lady Jays. Thunder Ridge girls win 51-46 against Wilson. Natoma beat Southern Cloud 40-25. Chase a 29. 29-28 win over Tescott in overtime at Clay Center over Concordia 49-19. As Wade said, Southeast girls win the championship of the league. They beat Republic County 59-14 last night in the NCAA, and Sacred Heart over Ellsworth 53-44. Other boys' scores from last night: Sylvan Lucas beating Lakeside 55-50. Osborne over Rock Hills 54-26. Johnny Hamill in double figures with 15 for the Bulldogs. St. John's tipped in a 58-33 win over Lincoln as Jared Eitzman had 19. Daniel Eilert with 15. Thunder Ridge boys won over Wilson 58-8. They led Thunder Ridge did 38-0 at halftime and rolled on to the 50-point win there. And that one, Chase over Tescott 44-40. Concordia beat Clay Center 57-54. Southeast boys final against Republic County was 50-36. And Sacred Heart over Ellsworth 53-42. So as a look at the scores from last night's games, again, you can, if you missed any of those, you can find them all there at ncksports.com. As Wade said, we will have high school hoops coming up tomorrow night and Friday night as well, as we've got the Lakeside Knights on our stations. The Lady Knights will play Friday. The boys play tomorrow night. Lakeside boys hosting Decatur Community tomorrow night. We'll have pregame coverage around 5:50. Tip off at 6 o'clock for that boys contest. 1A Division 1 Substate first round. And then on Friday, same matchup, but different location, will be in Oberlin for that one as the Lakeside girls take on Decatur Community in the 1A Division 1 Substate first round. Same times, though, pregame at 5:50 and tip at 6 o'clock for that girls' contest on Friday night in Oberlin. So you can find, as we've always said, all the information you need to know at ncksports.com, and full 1A Division 1 Substate brackets are also posted there at ncksports.com. Most of the boys' games will be tomorrow. There's a few stragglers that maybe if there's a doubleheader from the same teams playing each other, as is the case with Thunder Ridge and Natoma, that'll be both games Friday night, but mostly boys tomorrow and girls on Friday in 1A Division 1 first round of Substate.
Okay, what do we got to do? What do we got to do to throw something Oberlin's way? Decatur Community. A lot of people don't know what Decatur Community, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is what I don't like when we change it. It's Oberlin, all right?
Yeah.
Decatur Community, whatever. Oberlin. This is where they play. It's in Oberlin. But what we got to do to make this a doubleheader so that
you don't have
to go to Oberlin on Friday?
I would have loved.
What do we got to do?
What I don't like is
a little disappointed Lakeside not coming through there. Well, I mean, come on, offer something like
the crazy
a quarter of a hog, some barbecue. What do you got to do, man?
Yeah, the crazy thing is that Decatur Community at the time of seeding had one more win or whatever it was. They got the same record right now after all is said and done. So it's like, man, I wish that would have been a 4-5 flip and Lakeside would have won it, because we would have had a doubleheader
right
in Downs had Lakeside won that flip. But yeah, you're not going to give up a home game, obviously.
Well, so, of course not.
So you got to do it one night in Downs, the next night in Oberlin. So
yeah, we've seen that happen.
I would have
before.
Loved to not have to go to Oberlin. It's not as far as people want to make it seem, though. I had one person tell me, like, I hope we don't have to play Oberlin. That's like 3 hours away. I'm like, it's not 3 hours. It's like 2:15 if you're going slow.
If it takes you 3 hours, you're taking a long
yeah.
way.
I'll be like, I don't think it's even 3 hours on a bus, so I think you're going to be all right. But it's still a long trip, but at least it's a Friday, not a Thursday night. So
yeah, that's true. So Dusty had the night off from basketball, so then obviously, naturally, he went to a basketball game.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to tell people.
Had my last opportunity to see my nephew play high school basketball, so I'm hoping, crossing fingers. I would love that to not be my last opportunity to watch him play basketball, but for high school anyway. Newton was at Solana Central last night, so had an opportunity to enjoy him one last time, and thanks to you for making sure I had that opportunity
Bullitt
Smith Center game. So
sure.
I originally thought I'd do that one, but I'm like, hey, Dylan's playing in Salina. I think I might go to Salina on Tuesday. So we actually, my whole family was there as far as siblings and everything, and had a good time together. I didn't have a chance to go eat supper before the game and watch the last game. So it was a good time. Unfortunately, my nephew's team didn't win, but it's always fun to be able to do that when I don't have a lot of opportunities to do so. So
didn't that feel weird though, like before the game thinking I need to be set up and everything, and I'm actually
is the weird part, is like when you go to a game and you're not doing it, is like
very odd.
You're just like, oh, okay, so all I got to do is just go sit down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now
this is easy.
I don't like the fact that I have to give them money to walk in the door.
See, that's where you should have your Keisha pass.
I should just put my Keisha
seriously
pass on. Yeah.
you just put your Keisha pass on.
Yeah,
you're covering Newton.
Yeah,
you are. You're walking in, you're gonna post something on Twitter about, you know, what your nephew did. That's reporting.
There you go.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. If if I had thought of that, I would have that. I'd have my Acacia credential on, and I'll save myself the money.
Yeah,
I feel my thinking is I've given back a lot to schools and supporting student athletes and everything else. I think I could get in and go watch a Newton game.
Yeah.
You missed an opportunity there. That cost you.
I have.
That cost you
car,
like a.
But I just. I don't know. I just.
It cost you like a. That cost you a tub of ice cream right there.
Yeah,
man.
It did.
Man, I'd be kicking yourself now. Goodness gracious. Well, yesterday was very important for you, but also important to lots of people that love numbers. Do you know what yesterday was?
Yeah, it was 2/22/22.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Two's Tuesdays.
Yes, it was 2/22/22 on Tuesday. It was 2/22/22. And Jason Reeve was with me earlier today. I was like, well, what's the next time it happens? 3/33/33? Well, now we're idiots because there are no 33 days in a month. You can go 3/3/33. We had 2/2/22. But for 2/22/22, the land on a Tuesday is kind of, I'll bet that'll never happen again, obviously.
Yeah.
I won't be around to see it if it does.
No,
that's
I don't know
sure.
What's going
to
happen in 21/22. I don't think. I don't think we'll be here for that one.
Yeah, I probably not. But I do remember I was thinking about.
Can you imagine 2/22/22.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you
and,
said.
And 200 years from now.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be wild.
I'll be right here hosting Waterside Wake Up. Absolutely. But it got me thinking about like dates. You know, what's the dates that you remember in your head? And obviously 9/11 is one that you remember automatically. But for me, I think in sports, I immediately go 8/8/88. You know what happened in sports in 8/8/88? And they did that on purpose.
8/8/88.
August 8th of 1988. 8/8/88. I'll give you a hint. Had to do with baseball.
I don't know.
Had to do with the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, was it their first night game?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And they did that on purpose, of course, so that people would remember it.
8/8/88.
And I still remember it. I was 12 when that happened, and I remember that was a huge deal.
Almost to be 5, so I don't remember it. So, but I
once
remember
again, the knife just goes deeper into my back.
I got to do it every time.
Yeah. God, it hurts. It's sharp. It never dulls. It's so sharp.
I remember reading a lot about it and things like that, but the date. I would never know because I just don't remember actually seeing it.
Now, see, for me, like a date that I remember is recently, I guess recently. I mean, that would be about almost 9 years ago. But my youngest son was born on 11/12/13. That's easy to remember. 11/12/13. Obviously, you remember your Social Security numbers. You remember your date of birth. That's kind of an important one, so forth and so on. Maybe you remember your anniversary. Maybe you don't. I remember my wife and I's first date easier than I do our anniversary. I kid you not. But what about you? Is there a date that's a positive thing? You know, is there a date where you're like, oh yeah, right off the top?
Yeah, there's a negative one that comes right to my mind when my cousin Adam passed away. That's the three. If somebody asked me a date, man, I can rattle that one right off the top of my head.
What about a positive one?
You know, 3/31/04 was when my first nephew was born.
Okay.
Right? And so that's Dylan who I went and watched play last night, actually.
Yeah.
And that's definitely one that really stands out for me is because that was kind of a fun time of my life. It was a nervous time because he was 2 months early. And I think that's why I remember the date so easily is because it was exactly 2 months before he was supposed to be due.
Right.
And so that's definitely one that comes to mind. And for sports, It's February 4th of 2020 when the Chiefs finally got that Super Bowl for me. I don't know. I remember that date because that's the day I also got out of the hospital. It's the same date.
Okay. See, I wouldn't remember.
And
the
so
date.
That's why I remember the date. So that's a good one for me too. It would be 2/4/15 when I was released from the hospital in Solana. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I got a $2 bill on 2/22/22 yesterday from my bank. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So my sister just posted about $2 bills the other day on Facebook. That's funny. She's like, do you still have them? And I'm like, yeah, actually,
I
have 18 of them from my grandma. She gave them from 1 to 18. That's what we got for our birthday was from Grandma Sawfelt. It was a $2 bill.
I saved all my $2 bills.
Yeah.
And this one, I'm debating whether I should spend it or save it.
This day and age, you know, it's just like
I don't know how
inflation.
Many more
it's worth what that dollar used to be.
Yeah, that's very true, honestly.
Maybe they should produce them again.
Yeah, no kidding. You mentioned locker room chats for tonight and locker room chats tomorrow. State Wrestling will have on Friday and Saturday starting at around 10 a.m. on Friday with reports. Thanks to our sponsors making that possible. You want to mention the latest KBCA rankings
we can go through
teams
that
are
quick,
ranked here. It's the final rankings. Not that they mean a lot because you're going to be seated and play it out anyway. But
yeah, everything's going to be decided. So that's the great thing about these. They really don't mean anything in the end.
No,
3A girls, Southeast is number 7 at the end of the year. Phillipsburg 8, TMP is number 9. 2A girls, Smith Center number 6. 1A Division 1 girls, Osborne number 5. Sylvan Lucas number 9. St. John's Tipton girls are number 8 in 1A Division 2. 3A boys, Southeast number 6 to end the rankings here in the season. And then 1A Division 1 boys, Osborne number 4 and Sylvan Lucas number 9.
All right. Kansas wrestling rankings out?
Wrestling, actually, there was a lot of shifting this week with what happened at regionals. So, Beloit's number 6 is a team. Smith Center's back into the rankings as a team at number 8. Bruno Walker's number 1 still at 195 pounds. Bentley Montgomery moved up to number 2 at 138. Braden Burks is up to number 3 at 220 for Beloit. Bentley Montgomery, obviously, for Smith Center there. Tate Kittle's number 4 at 170 for Beloit. Jake Kirkhoff back into the rankings at 182 for Smith Center at number 4. And Eli Franklin at 220 for Smith Center, number 5. And Coe Nielsen of Rock Hills back into the top 6 there at 106 at number 6. So all those rankings, if you miss them, ever posted at ncksports.com.
All right, I want to touch upon one thing before we get into KU and K-State game last night. So let's think about this just locally. We just discussed this. Lakeside girls are driving 2 hours for a first-round 1A sub-state game, correct?
Yes. Little over two.
Yep. Oberlin or Decatur Community Boys are traveling 2 hours for a first-round sub-state 1A boys game.
Yeah. I guess from Downs, yeah, it's right at about 2 hours.
Okay, so 2 hours.
Yeah.
Beloit girls, I've been told it's about a two-hour drive to Council Grove, first round, 3A girls sub-state play. And yet Keisha insists that we have to keep these things geographically to help schools with travel. And I know they don't want, you know, Scott City having to go all the way to Hiawatha. I get that. I do. But come on. If you actually talk, and I've talked with some administrators about this and athletic directors here over the last few months about it, it's kind of popped up just here and there. People I've run into, people I've even corresponded with that, you know, cover high school sports. And we've all moved on. Like, even the schools have moved on and understand that travel's part of it. It's just the way it is. I mean, out in Western Kansas, you got to travel no matter what. So with that line of thinking, let's go ahead and let's seed these sub-states. Let's do what the bigger classifications do. And there's even east-west. You can seed it.
East-west,
and there's even
1 to 16.
Right.
East-west, 1 to 32.
It would be pretty simple. It'd be pretty simple to do.
If you're going
to
go on the road, you're going to go on the road.
Right. and granted, that, like, I think the three top teams in 6A are west or east or something. I can't remember what it was. Somebody put that out the other day. No matter what, you're going to have something
there's gonna
out
be
of
an
balance.
Issue, no matter
right.
What. Yeah.
But it'd be a lot better. It'd be a lot better if we just seed it 1 through 32 on the east, 1 through 32 on the west. Or if there's some school that doesn't have a, like, you know, Stockton doesn't have a, you know, boys team, whatever.
Yeah.
It's 1 through 31 or whatever you want to do. Okay? So you go ahead and then you seed it and so forth and so on. Then you wouldn't have these situations, and this is why the rankings don't help Keisha's point at all, is when you see three or four teams ranked in the top 10 and are all in the same sub-state.
Yeah.
Like, seriously? Like, it happens every single year. It happens every single year. And we go through it in almost every single classification. And 1A is really bad because you've got the watered-down effect. People have heard this before, and I'm not going to go all nuts about it again. And I think anybody that really, truly loves basketball and understands it will agree with us that 1A should not be split into two divisions. It's sad when there's sub-states where teams with a losing record already, you know, are going to state.
Yeah.
We already know that. There are some sub-states you already have teams that are going to have a losing record. There are sub-states where there is no winning record.
For this year's example of what we talk about every year, there's teams from the Northern Plains League that are at the Central Plains sub-state. In the Central Plains boys sub-state, there's not a winning record. The number one seed is 8-10. Wilson has 4 wins, and they have a first-round bye.
A team of 4 wins has a first-round bye. We don't need to water down 1A into two divisions. It's not necessary anymore. It makes a joke of a state tournament. It makes a joke out of these sub-state tournaments. What you just said, a 4-win team gets a bye? That's ridiculous.
That's what we said
when it happened.
But they also said they were going to listen, right? They were going to change the system, right? Because we know the system's probably not great for a split.
Right.
So we're going to look at things. They did the exact same. The only thing they changed was they moved games, first round games, to Thursday and Friday. They didn't change the system. They changed the days
which,
that the games
which
get played.
They probably did that because of a shortage of officials.
That's what they say, yeah.
Right.
Is the reason.
That's
for
what
that.
They had
yeah.
to do.
Yeah,
or they
exactly.
wouldn't have changed
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, we said at the time, it's like, okay, if you're going to split it, fix the system.
Do it right.
Because it's not right.
You want your state tournament should have the eight best teams in every single class.
Osborne, Sylvan, and Lakeside, who are all playing state potential caliber basketball,
are all in the same sub-state. Right, right. Then you look at the sub-state that St. John's Tipton is in Thunder Ridge.
Yeah.
St. John's Tipton girls are the only team with a winning record.
Yeah.
But there are other sub-states, as we said, that don't even have a winning record. At least there's a winning record in that sub-state.
And Northern Valley boys are 18-19-1, whatever they – I don't know if they played last night, but they were 18-1 going after Saturday or after Friday. So, you know, at least they have somebody that's really at the top.
That
definitely is
sub-state.
A legit number one seed there
right.
At that St. John's Tipton Beloit sub-state.
Listen, I don't think any team should have a losing record. No team at state should have a losing record unless you legitimately – and I mean legitimately. And what I mean by legitimately is this thing's reseeded. At the end of the season, it's all reseeded. And if you can somehow get hot and you win, you know, three games and you're a number six seed or a seven seed with seven wins and you win three games, you're 10-12 and going in the state, okay, power to you. But when you go into a sub-state and you're a number one seed with eight wins and you're a two seed with four wins, that's just absolutely a joke. It's absolutely a joke. And so that's why you reseed it, so you don't even have that possibility. No four-win team at any classification at any level in high school sports should get a first-round bye at sub-state. Nobody. Nobody that's 4-16, whatever their record is.
Yeah, I guess they're 4-15 after last night.
4-15. I mean, that's ridiculous. And that means you only got to win two games to make state on top of it. So it's even easier to make state with a losing record.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I don't want to pile on Wilson here, but they were losing 38-0 at halftime last night to Thunder Ridge.
And they get a bye?
A first round bye.
So what do we do to solve that? Well, okay, first of all, don't split the divisions. That's one. But two, if you're going to split the divisions, like you said, then reseed it to where you have the best teams. So you don't have a four-win team getting a bye.
Yeah.
You don't have a guaranteed losing record at state. It is very easily avoidable.
1A is the exact example right now of how you should try to do it like you do 6A and 5A.
Yes.
And do top to bottom, figure it out. We're going to have to travel. We know that.
Sure.
And Northern Valley sub-state is in Beloit. Almena and Beloit are not close.
No. Well, we just established this. Oberlin Lakeside's not close. Beloit Council Grove's not close. All right? You just said Northern Valley and Beloit
and
St. John's
and Oberlin
not close.
To Sylvan, right?
Right. Oberlin to Sylvan.
If they win, they go to Sylvan.
So we're already... So
that's
we're
even further than the 2 hours
we're
talking
already
about
traveling 2 hours for teams for one game. We're traveling 2 hours, actually 4 hours round trip. What are we... If you blake it in the east-west...
There's a 1A substate in Sylvan, and Lincoln's going to Clifton Clyde.
If you break it in the east-west down the... You know, depending on the geographic line, I don't know how it works in regards to how many schools and where the line would be drawn. Okay, I don't know.
And that
but
varies
I would guess,
by class.
But I would guess, because I pretty much know from one corner of the state to the other corner of the state, it's about a 6-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you hypothetically, and it might be a little bit more to the east because there's more schools to the east. Okay? I don't know if the line would be right through coming straight from north to south, right through Manhattan, down to Junction City.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. That's classification, you know.
It's all in the classification.
Topeka's in the west in the bigger classes.
Right.
Because there's so many schools
right,
that are east.
Right. So there's more travel in that situation, although apparently that doesn't seem to bother everybody too badly. But when you do this for all these other classifications, let's just say 3, 2, and 1A like we're talking about, or even 4A, whatever, you're going to probably have, at the most, a 3-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
We're already doing 2 hours. What's another hour? And here's the thing. You talk to the schools, they've already accepted it. Schools have already either allocated in their budget or will deal with it and say, listen, we're not gonna forfeit because we're scared to drive 3 hours.
Yeah.
We're going to drive it. It might not be ideal, but we got to do it. It's just part of it. So let's get past the old line of thinking and do what's right. Once again, we wouldn't want to do that. Let's do what's right for the kids. Let's do what's right for the member schools. Let's do what's right by the sports organization that we talk about, the Athletic Association. Let's do what's right, and let's get the best state tournaments. Let's get the best teams at the state tournaments. Let's quit having four teams ranked in the top 10 in one sub-state. Another sub-state has two teams with winning records. Let's avoid the 1A situation where you have teams already guaranteed to go to state with losing records. That's embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing that a team with eight wins that has a number one seed goes into sub-state knowing they only have to win two games, so they're going to win 10 games total, and they're going to go to state, and there's going to be other 1A schools that are going to have 20 wins and won't go to state.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And it can be fixed.
Yeah.
You know, if we can't go with this line of thinking of, well, that's just the way we always do it. If that's the case, we would never have airplanes, we'd never have cars, and we would be walking and riding our bikes to work all the time. So, and we would have outhouses, we wouldn't have indoor plumbing. We would have electricity. So it's just time to, it's time to adjust. It's time to move in the right direction. All right.
Yes.
Let's move on. KU last night went in the right direction. They scored a lot of points.
86-64 inside Lightfoot. A two-hand jam and the foul. And a stare down at Massoud as Lightfoot having a huge day.
Oh, KU, 102 points, the most points they scored against K-State since 2002, according to Brian Haney on the Jayhawk Radio Network. I was listening coming back on Z96.3 of the Lake. The Jayhawks shot 64%, 63% from 3, 15 to 24. K-State, if you said before the game, K-State's going to shoot 47%, and they're going to score 43 in the first half and score 83 for the game, K-State fans would have gotten giddy going, boy, I bet we won that game.
Or at least we're in it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Down to the end, it's going to be a close game.
Not so much. KU wins by 19, and here's Bill Self on the win and how his offense, it exploded.
Terrific offensively. The game was the fastest game we probably played all year. And you know, K-State was the biggest reason for that. They came out, and I think they said, we're going to play four little guards, and we're going to try to wear them down, and they played fast, but fortunately for us, our offense was so good, you know, basically for close to 40 minutes, in that we got what we wanted, and we got the ball downhill, and then we shot, you know, so well from the perimeter. I don't know if I can remember a team going, you know, shooting 64% or whatever from three, or 63 from three. So I was very excited about that. It was a great team win.
When I tuned in on the radio, I heard Brian Haney go, Christian Brown with the bucket, KU leads 61-49. And I looked at my clock, and I'm like, boy, this game's really flying by. Then he said 18 minutes left, and I'm like, what? 18 minutes left, and KU's already north of 60? That's crazy. Ochai Agbaji last night, 9 of 13, 4 of 6 from 3 at 23 points, 17 for Jalen Wilson. Christian Brown had 20. He likes to play those rivalry games against Missouri and K-State. And once again, KU shot 15 of 24 from 3, 63% beyond the arc, and 64% from the floor. What was the take for Bruce Weber?
They kept it going. They, you know, they get 51 in the first half, 53, and then they get 50 whatever in the second. We get 43 in the first, 40 in the second. We kept saying we're going to score 80, but we got to find a way to stop them. They made some tough ones. We gave them some easy ones. Obviously, their bench, which has not been, I would say, one of their stellar parts of their team, you know, they end up with 31 points. That hurt us.
Mike McGrill, Sutton Miguel, and Nigel Pack each scored 13, but K-State falls now to 14-13 on the year. We'll talk more K-State basketball with John Kurtz and get his feeling on whether or not K-State's a tournament team. Are they worthy of being in the tournament? Can they get in the tournament still? They're now 14-13, 6-9 in the Big 12. Also last night in the Big 12, it was Texas Tech routing Oklahoma in Lubbock, 66-42. Oklahoma just 42 points. Man, K-State doubled up Oklahoma, and K-State lost by 19 on the road there in Allen Fieldhouse. KU now, four games left in the Big 12. They're 12-2. They have a two-game lead in the Big 12 over Texas Tech and Baylor. KU will be at Baylor on Saturday. And I can just see it now. KU is going to go to Baylor. They crushed Baylor in Lawrence a few weeks ago. They go to Baylor. They shot lights out last night against K-State, and they're going to go to Baylor and shoot 23% and lose by 20. I can see it happening, and who cares? Because they still have a one-game lead, and then they've got TCU for a couple of games, and they got Texas at home to finish out. I mean, KU, I think there's no way they won't go with at least a share of the Big 12 title, no matter what the rest of the way, and more than likely an outright title. And listen, if you win the Big 12 outright, I think you're a number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you are. I mean, the strength of work of the resume for KU, you know, I know people may say, well, wait, it is a big deal. If we lose to Baylor, that means that costs us a one seed. Nah, I don't think so. I mean, if Baylor is who you're fighting for, a one seed, and you finish ahead of them in the standings, you're going to be a one over Baylor, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's possible that, you know, the Big 12 champ could be a two seed and others could be one seeds. But I just feel like KU, as long as they win the Big 12 and don't get bounced early in the Big 12 tournament, they're going to be a one seed. Do you see that?
That's what it feels like right now. Yeah.
Right. And the latest reveal has them as a one seed. Mm-hmm. And you look at the rest of their schedule, they should win all the games except maybe Baylor, and they could easily win Baylor. If they win at Baylor, then obviously it's over for the Big 12 race. K-State women, by the way, did you see the KU uniforms they wore last night?
I did, yeah.
I thought they were kind of, like, at first I saw them like, ugh. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay with it.
It looked a little better on the video, right?
Yeah.
On live than when they put it on Twitter. And
I agree.
Just seeing it, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting.
But I flipped back and forth between the KU and the K-State broadcast last night, and Stan Weber said KU shot a three and they made it, and they were making everything. It was like 96 to 71. And Stan Weber, Wyatt mentioned something about the uniforms, and Stan goes, they should never take these off. They should wear these at every game. Because he goes, I mean, he's right. I mean, that's the first time KU's ever wore those uniforms, and they had the best shooting night they've had in years.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they don't even wash them. Just,
they at least always say don't ever wear red anymore, because when they wore their red uniforms, they never won.
Oh, I remember 1986 Final Four, they had the red jerseys. That might have been when they debuted them. That did not go over well. They lost, and that was that. K-State women, they're in action, and they've got an important game tonight as they host Texas. Texas ranked 11th in the country. K-State 18-8, 8-6 in the Big 12. That's at 6:30 at Bramlage. And you look at the Big 12 women's race, KU's a game out of first. The KU Jayhawk women's basketball team is a game out of first. Iowa State and Baylor 11-3, KU's 10-4, Oklahoma 9-5, Texas 9-5, K-State 8-6. And obviously, I would think those top six teams in the Big 12 are all going to go to the NCAA tournament, I would imagine. So, the bottom four are having rough years. There's definitely a Tier 1 and a Tier 2 when it comes to the Big 12. But I looked at the standings today. I'm like, wow, KU's only a game out of first. But K-State, an important game tonight against Texas, and that would help their resume if they can get a win against a ranked team at home. Before we get to John Kurtz, the Chiefs yesterday, they cut Anthony Hitchens. This is no surprise. No. The Chiefs up against the salary cap, aiming to remain competitive. Cuts had to be made somewhere. They released a 29-year-old Hitchens, who will turn 30 in June. It'll save the Chiefs $8.4 million in cap space while carrying the remaining $4.2 million of his $12.6 million cap number for 2022 in dead cap money. Hitchens was part of a five-year, $45 million deal, and this was going to be the most expensive year. He had 381 tackles and 59 starts in Kansas City over the last four seasons. Of course, they picked him up. He was a backup linebacker of the Cowboys. They brought him in on that deal, and honestly, he did his job. He did his job. He was a starting linebacker and led and calling to helping call the defensive plays, captain, getting all the plays from the side. He was the guy, a leader on this team, and they won a Super Bowl with Anthony Hitchens. And you can never take that away from Anthony Hitchens. He was a starting linebacker for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. I thank Anthony Hitchens for everything he did for Kansas City and the Chiefs, and I understand the business. I'm sure he does as well. And the Chiefs will move on. They got Nick Bolton. They got Willie Gay. And they might, draft another young linebacker. They feel pretty comfortable that they can go with those two guys. It makes sense. And now they can let go of Anthony Hitchens. Now, the next one they need to do is after June 1st. That's why they need to wait in regards to financial cap responsibilities. Wait till after June 1st and let go of Frank Clark. And they do that. Now, suddenly, you've got more money freed up between Hitchens being gone and also letting go of Frank Clark. And you don't have to deal with the legal ramifications, whatever he's going to deal with this summer with the gun charges. And you can also convert Mahomes' salary into mostly a signing bonus and can help you save about $20 more million for the cap. And then the Chiefs have some flexibility to go get maybe a second bona fide wide receiver, or get somebody to replace Tyrann Mathieu, or have the money to re-sign Tyrann Mathieu if you want to do that. And then maybe you let Charvarius Ward go. Maybe you can re-sign him with money and keep him. And then you can address your defensive line that needs to figure out a way to get to the quarterback, which killed the Chiefs eventually in the AFC title game. That, and of course, the poor offensive performance in the second half of the AFC title game. So it makes total sense. No surprise Hitchens is being released.
No, you got to do those things if you want to find other people in free agency, or at this point even sign your draft picks.
Yes, absolutely. It's part of the business, but we thank Anthony Hitchens for everything that he did for Chiefs football, no question.